T-minus 78. Landing site, Solar City, Sanctuary. Dan and Tara, the two humans set to leave Sanctuary while a third stayed behind, joined their dearest extraterrestrial friend Leisha in departing the planet's principal's high lookout and making their way towards the elevator that would take them back down to ground level. Both were comfortable enough with heights, which was a good thing given how high the lookout was, but the sheer scale of the statue and distant pyramids that had been visible through the top floor room's glass wall also played a part in limiting any potential feelings of vertigo. For when everything looked so big and there was nothing to make it obvious how high from the ground the vantage point truly was, it didn't seem any worse than gazing down from an average tower block on Earth. Billy remained alone in the lookout, keen to get off on the right foot with his hosts for the next few days by making sure someone was watching from high while the principal was dealing with planetary business on the surface. Once Dan's departing trio reached the elevator and waited for it to reach them, they were greeted by the returning principal. He smiled at his visitors, then made a surprising but wise suggestion.
Leisha, you should engage your masking power before descending and stepping outside,
the tiny alien said, by now having inferred from context that Leisha could understand his words perfectly without being able to respond directly.
Depp and I have not quite decided how to alert our population of your existence in a manner that will minimize the chance of any negative or fearful reactions. Such reactions would be unlikely, but when they are already dealing with news of one visiting race, I do not think it would be wise to introduce the existence of an entirely new race in addition.
Dan, for his part, couldn't mask an involuntary grin. He had found himself in a very similar situation when the messengers first visited him on Earth, and the shoe had very much moved on to the other foot when he first visited them on New Caer Galen. As ever, his mind drew a distinction between this kind of responsible message management, to borrow a term from his wife Emma, a world-leading expert on such things, and an outright lie. Taking care of how to eventually deliver a truth was different even from lying by omission in Dan's mind, and this feeling was by now fully internalized, having once been something he struggled with greatly. The world in Dan's first 21 years had been a black and white struggle between truth and lies. In his past three, however, the responsibility that came with the secrets and knowledge thrust upon him had fostered a more nuanced understanding on the purpose and even the nature of honesty. The importance of intention was at the heart of this shift in mindset, with Dan coming to realize that concealing a dangerous truth for the protection of others was a more ethical and net positive act than revealing the same such truth for personal gain. The Comet Il Diavolo fiasco was perhaps the moment that decisively tipped Dan's thoughts in this direction, with he and his inner circle having had no problem understanding that keeping news of the comet's collision course with Earth from the public until a workable plan was in place was absolutely crucial to ensure that such a plan could fall into place, given the inevitable chaos and societal breakdown that would have come with the news that Armageddon was on its way. From the moment then Prime Minister John Cole took it upon himself to selfishly leak news of the comet's path in a bid to protect his own position, Dan McCarthy had no longer seen telling the truth as a universally noble pursuit. Having since come to see that others he considered to be good were apt to recognize similar nuances, from Leisha and Sacco to this friendly little principal he had just met, Dan felt comfortable in good company.
Ask what will happen when I return for Billy, Leisha said to both Dan and Tara.
She was first to echo the question, to which the principal replied that he and Depp would have divulged Leisha's existence to the rest of their population by then. He would have nothing to worry about upon his return, the principal insisted, and that was a promise. Leisha, who placed more weight in the word promise than any being of any race who Dan had ever had the pleasure to meet, extended his hand for the principal to shake. This first required the messenger from New Caer Galen to lower himself to his knees, and the expression on the principal's face showed that he clearly appreciated the gesture.
Go well,
the planet's appointed lookout and apparent sovereign said, seeing his visitors off with a nod.
Interacting with the principal left Dan hopeful of a potentially cooperative future with the Smalls, but he knew a lot of things had to be dealt with before then. To an extent, the past few hours had come to serve as a somewhat welcome distraction from the turbulence he had left behind on both Earth and New Kerguelen, with the only thing he missed about either planet being his family and close friends, and the only reason he wanted to get back being the undying urge to keep them safe. Safety required stability, and Dan could only hope that returning to New Kerguelen with news of a fruitful trip, albeit with more than a few details held back, for now familiar reasons of responsible message management, would be the first brick in this wall. The elevator's descent to the ground passed considerably more quickly than had its ascent in the other direction, which led to a few seconds of small talk on this topic between Terra and Dan as they made the short walk through the tower's entrance and prepared to step outside. The sight of several hundred Smalls quickly ended all discussion of and interest in the topic of what kind of lifting mechanism the alien elevator might have used, immediately invoking memories of the duo's speech from New Kerguelen's plaza, the very speech that had ultimately led to their necessary leap of destiny across the planet's previously unexplored Skygate. No speech was required today, as made clear by Depp stepping towards the humans and gently shepherding them towards Leisha's craft. Depp, in on the principal's decision to keep Leisha's existence from the other Smalls for the time being, walked at a safe distance and stopped short of the craft's ramp as they reached its base. With a heavy heart and heavier feet, Terra hesitated.
"He wants to stay,"
Dan whispered, instinctively vocalizing this, rather than communicating it telepathically. Billy's continued presence was no secret in any case, so there was nothing to worry about on that front.
"And we are not leaving him behind," Leisha added, naturally remaining as unheard by any of the Smalls as he was unseen. "Terra, we are leaving him for now. I will be back."
This eased her mind, and Dan's placement of a light hand on her back encouraged her up the ramp. From the top, the two of them turned to address the strangest group they had ever encountered. Given all the places they had been and all the things they had seen, this was certainly saying something. But wherever else their lives might take them, both doubted they would ever face anything on the level of this circular arrangement of diminutive humanoid aliens, smiling, and in some cases waving in their ragtag two-piece outfits of shabby beige garments, while the most incredible buildings and monuments ever met by human eyes provided a backdrop like no other. Dan raised a hand and waved, quickly mimicked by Terra. Leisha beckoned the door to close, at which point he made himself visible and forced a smile far less human-looking than the Smalls.
"To the mothership," the alien said, effortlessly assuming control of his saucer-like craft as it lifted from the circle to which it had been relentlessly pulled at the beginning of their unforgettable initial trip to Sanctuary.
"To the mothership," Dan repeated, gazing through one of the craft's many windows as the colossal statue of the Smalls' mysterious Mother of Sacrifice faded towards the horizon. Principal Point, the tower in which Billy had stayed behind, quickly began to resemble a tiny twig, and was then gone from vision altogether.
"Be safe, Billy," Dan thought, imploring his good friend despite knowing he was already far too far away for their telepathy patches to be of any benefit. "And for God's sake, be smart."